categories, it's just based on some kind of truth and sound, is really, really important.
Thomas Stanley, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you for talking with me.
Sarah, thank you very, very much. I've had a good time.
Thomas Stanley is a professor of sound art at George Mason University. This is With Good Reason. We'll be right back. Welcome back to With Good Reason at Virginia Humanities. When we think of classical music, we think of Beethoven, Mozart, and Bach, and we're often less aware of the rich contributions of African-American composers and artists. But my next guest is trying to change that. Naima Burz is a professional violinist and professor of music at Virginia State University. She says jazz, blues, and spirituals are the very roots of the American musical landscape. Naima, what first attracted you to classical music, and how young were you?
So I was exposed to classical music since really being in the womb. My mother is a singer and a professor, and so I've had such early exposure to music. I got exposed to the strings and the quartet of the Richmond Symphony in the fourth grade when they came to visit our school. And I just remember being just so fascinated, you know, by the violin and the sound of it. And I ran home to my mother and saying, I have to play that instrument. And, you know, the rest is really history. So that exposure through the public school system was really huge for me and a big moment. So around the, I guess that's around the age of 9 or so, did I begin playing the violin. And before that, I studied some piano and didn't enjoy it as much as the violin. But I attended a lot of rehearsals and concerts of my mom and her friends and, you know, CDs and all of those things at home. So from as early as I can remember, I've been listening to music.
Which classical pieces are attracting you the most right now?
There are so many, but honestly, whenever I have the opportunity, I really like to share the music and the accomplishments of, you know, Black composers and artists, simply just because, you know, they've made such tremendous contributions to our musical society, and really not here, only here in America, but all over the world. And even through these, you know, great, meaningful contributions, they're often still overlooked. If we're able to really dissect, you know, the American sound and, you know, look to see what's at the root of that, we're often going to really find that it's heavily influenced by the music of African slaves, the music of Native Americans, the Negro spiritual, jazz, blues. All of those things are, you know, heavily influential. And I think that Black people really have contributed so much to this great American musical landscape. Really, for me, it's such a privilege to explore these works and composers, you know, whenever I have the chance to do so.
We think of that less in classical music, but really you're saying there's much more diversity among classical music composers than most of us realize.
Absolutely. There's so much there, and often we don't really get a chance to hear them. We have to go search for them. For whatever reason, it's not really included in our history courses. Even, you know, at the top levels of education, we're really not necessarily exposed to them unless you take a course that is specifically, you know, related to the music of Black Americans or their contributions, or you take some type of world music course. But if you, you know, take a regular Western music history course, oftentimes you can go a whole semester without learning about any of these composers. And so, of course, that's extremely troubling, but that's what we're trying to change, you know, the narrative of what our history is.
Was it different for you growing up with a mother who was a classical soprano? Did you know more about the Black composers than most young women?
You know, maybe so. Honestly, my one thing that I really have gotten from my mom, or what's really inspired me, is just her curiosity. And She's such a supporter of, you know, living composers. She's always purchasing music. She's the type of musician that, you know, hears a piece for trumpet and piano and she goes and buys it, and she has no business. I mean, she does not play the trumpet, but she's that interested that, you know, she's going to add it to her library. And so I definitely was, you know, exposed to much of this throughout my early life and continue to do so. Some of our best conversations are really just talking about things that we've heard. And have you heard of this composer? Did you see this or did you hear that? And that's the story of a lot of Black kids and Black students, is that they often get much of this information from their parents, because it's not, if we think of Black history in general, not even music related, it's often that stuff is not really taught to us in the school. So much of that does come from our parents and stories that they tell us, and the things that they want to be sure that we know, even if we're not going to get it, you know, in the outside world. So she's certainly influenced me there greatly.
So you've recorded two pieces for us on your violin, one by Charles Ingram, another by Jacqueline Hairston. Tell us a little bit about Charles Ingram, if you would, and then play the piece that you recorded.
Charles Ingram, he's a native of Mississippi. He taught for, I think it's about 31 years or so, music courses to majors and general music students in LA Southwest College. After retiring, he moved back to Georgia, where he's basically, you know, devoting his time full time to just composition. And a lot of his output will include works of choral ensembles. He has art songs as well as chamber music for various instruments. His compositions have been performed all across the U.S. as well as Europe. So the pieces that I've chosen are his three vignettes for violin and piano. And this was composed in 2012. And this first movement is titled Instigation. And I think I just want to point out that the marking is at the beginning of the score. This first movement is marked warmly aloof. And I find that title just really funny. It's filled with syncopations. We'll hear interesting dissonances with these satisfying resolutions. So in my mind, I think the syncopations and, you know, the dissonances might represent the aloof. But then when we arrive at these resolutions, we feel that warmth there. Yeah, so that piece, you know, I just really think that the violin and the piano really have such a wonderful interaction. It's really fun to play, and the piano will play a section and, you know, you hear the violin kind of come back in with its response, and they're, you know, playing their way throughout with these syncopations. I just really love this composition, and the other two movements are in great contrast to it, and it's just so much fun to play, and hopefully everyone's enjoying that.
I understand that this piece in particular has had an impact on your own development as a musician.
Sure. I mean, I think that one of the most enjoyable parts of really studying and performing music by living composers is that you often really will have the opportunity to speak with them. Mr. Ingram is a friend of my mother's, and she performed some works by him. And when she heard that he had this, she bought this and gave it to me and said, you need to perform this. And I've had the chance to speak with him, you know, about his history and his development as a composer. And I think that, you know, those experiences are really fantastic. And, you know, we play music by Mozart and Beethoven, but of course we can't talk to them. So being able to really connect with the composer and hopefully do their work justice is really neat. It's a neat opportunity.
Another piece that you will perform for us is composed by Jacqueline Hairston. Tell me about her work and her life.
So Miss Hairston is a native of North Carolina, and she wears many hats. She's a pianist, she's a composer, arranger, conductor, vocal coach, educator. She received her musical training at Juilliard. So her works have been recorded by the London Symphony and the Columbia Symphony Orchestra, as well as has been performed by singers like Kathleen Battle, Denise Graves, Shirley Verrett, Grace Bunbury, William Warfield, so many great giants in our field. And honestly, I've grown up listening to my mother perform Miss Hairston's spiritual arrangements. So I was really delighted that I would have the opportunity to see these and that she arranged many of those spirituals for the violin. In this collection of spirituals, there's a wonderful variety. We see Ain't of That Good News and Guide My Feet, Wade in the Water. And the one that I really found particularly moving is her setting of This Little Light of Mine. And spirituals in general are, you know, just to clarify, these are originally really an oral tradition that would be imparting some sort of Christian values while also really describing the hardships and experiences of slavery. Many people will know the words of This Little Light of Mine. It's been used in many different settings. And if you think back even to, you know, the civil rights movement, as that was growing in the 50s and 60s, singers could use these lyrics or change them around to really reference their particular struggle. And so those new versions were known as freedom songs. And so for me, I think that it's, you know, powerful in its simplicity, I would say, but it remains relevant, you know, as we navigate our way through 2020.
I love how you use your violin to convey the spiritual. It's not a way we think of the violin usually in classical music.
Yes, thank you so much. And I really find that Miss Hairston's setting is just so moving. This song particularly, I find it particularly beautiful, really, and it has its calming nature, while the words, we know the words, even though, you know, on the violin we're not hearing the words, they really offer us strength and optimism to make it through difficult times, whatever they may be, and Miss Harrison's arrangement really is just beautiful.
Have you performed that publicly also?
I have done this on a recital or two, and people really love it. You can feel the silence and the stillness in the room, and I think that people kind of gravitate to that with the, you know, the hustle and bustle in life just moving so fast, and sometimes it's nice to just center ourselves and have something to hold on to and relate to. And, you know, here in 2020, as we continue to witness the injustices related to racism and police brutality, or even as we see the COVID cases continuing to rise, I think that this is something that just gives us calm and gives us a little bit of inspiration to make it through these tough times.
You know, you mentioned as a little girl being so awestruck by the Richmond Symphony and the beautiful, coordinated, giant sound of the instruments playing together. And yet this summer, you yourself played alongside the Richmond Symphony at the memorial vigil at the site of Robert E. Lee statue in Richmond.
Right. That event was actually, or that vigil was in honor of Elijah McClain, and honestly, all of the lives lost unjustly at the hands of the police. This was a large community orchestra filled with professionals and amateurs and students, and everyone showed up to play without any rehearsal, just there to really offer, you know, music and healing to our community. And I should mention that I think that this was the first event that many of us played or participated in since the shutdowns for COVID-19. So it was extremely emotional on so many different levels. I think that, you know, with everything that had been happening, you know, unexpectedly, kind of like with COVID and with the killings of unarmed Black people, and everyone's been unable to spend time together, really, which usually you would, you know, spend time with friends and get together and talk about these things and deal with these things and play music, play concerts, which are so healing, to have just so many things taken away and you having to kind of deal with this stuff on your own is extremely difficult. And a lot of us, you know, hadn't been to our jobs. We hadn't played music. So many freelance musicians, you know, all of their gigs taken away. And all of that really seems so small in comparison to people dying of COVID-19 and, you know, people being killed by police unjustly. So it was a lot of mixes of emotions just on so many different levels. And, you know, to hear the beautiful sounds of the strings and to be standing in such a controversial space in front of the Lee Monument and to see all of the artwork, you know, on that statue and to be surrounded by so many people of the community for the first time when we all have been staying to ourselves was quite a moment. I definitely will never, ever, ever forget that.
Did you feel love and strength surrounded by these other musicians playing beautiful music together?
So much love and strength, and my family was there and many of my friends were there, and some of the people that we see, you know, at symphony gigs or we see at weddings, you know, multiple times a month or, you know, even sometimes multiple times a week, you're finally rejoining with these people for the first time and taking your instrument out and being able to make music together. And at this event, I actually had the honor of conducting a small ensemble of friends or, you know, friends and professional musicians, and we performed George Walker's Lyric from Strings. And for those who aren't familiar with Walker, he was a pianist and composer and the first African-American to win a Pulitzer Prize for music. And this was the piece that Walker composed in response to the death of his grandmother. So I think it was particularly moving to share this music with the community. I remember one of the chords that we sustained, and I looked up in the sky and the clouds were separating and the sun was coming through, and it's almost like time stopped. I can't really explain the feeling of being there with everyone, but definitely love and definitely a sense of community and support.
You were doing some conducting of your own as part of your current coursework. How does that work at a time of shutdown or when we're social distancing?
Yeah, so I'm a doctoral candidate in instrumental conducting at the Catholic University of America. And it's quite interesting to be studying something in which you don't have your actual instrument with you. So a conductor's real, you know, instrument is the orchestra, it's the ensemble. And so much of what we learn is by the response to our gestures and the response to the moves that we make. What do the instruments sound like when they watch us give certain gestures? My professors at Catholic have been wonderful in trying to find ways to be innovative and change around the coursework so that we're able to still, you know, grow as musicians and conductors. So we do a lot of work over Zoom. We still continue on with our private lessons. We've been making what are called tile videos. So we use a recording and we conduct to that, whatever the excerpt might be. And we have a sound engineer who then takes our conducting video and passes it along to the ensemble, and each of the instruments will record their part individually. And so we're right now in the process of putting all of those together. So everybody's just looking for ways to be innovative and give, you know, the students the possibility to continue on. And so I'm definitely thankful that we didn't have to pause our degrees and we're able to still learn and continue on the path.
What about now? What are you listening to these days that gives you pleasure, either classical or just fun?
Oh man, my playlist, I listen to so many different things depending on what I'm working on at the time. If I'm heavy into a lot of score study, a lot of times I like to listen to things that are not related. So I listen, you know, I just need a little break from this, but of course I love opera and all of that. So there's some popular artists that I do like to listen to, like Alex Isley. I listen to a lot of Butcher Brown. That's my brother is in a well-known band here. Butcher Brown, they're fantastic. But I love Anna-Sophie Mutter. She's probably my most favorite musician in general. I love Leontine Price. I listen to all of her albums. Spotify is amazing for that because I can just put it on and just keep searching and searching and searching. So my musical playlist is, it's varied. There are a lot of different things.
Can you pick a song that we could play right now that's one of the ones that you've been having fun with recently?
Yeah, this is Leontine Price singing Care Selve, and this is probably, this is a piece that brings me just so much joy, but also just comfort and the beautiful spin of her voice, and I often put this on when I need to be centered.
Naima, thank you so much. This is wonderful. And thank you for talking with us on With Good Reason.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Naima Burrs is a professional violinist and professor of music at Virginia State University. She's also a doctoral candidate in instrumental conducting at Catholic University of America. Support for With Good Reason is provided by the University of Virginia Health System, uvahealth.com. With Good Reason is produced in Charlottesville by Virginia Humanities, which acknowledges the Monacan Nation, the original people of the land and waters of our home in Charlottesville, Virginia. Our production team is Allison Quantz, Matt Darrow, Lauren Francis, and Jamal Milner. Maya Neer and Cassie Deering are interns. For the podcast, go to withgoodreasonradio.org. I'm Sarah McConnell. Happy holidays from all of us at With Good Reason.
Thank you. Portland, Oregon.
Cable Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the International New Year's Eve Ball with Awolo Lugomba on Friday, December 31st from 8 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. at the Pure Space Annex, featuring guest DJs playing Zouk, Afrobeat, and more. Again, that's the International New Year's Eve Ball with Awolo Lugomba on Friday, December 31st from 8 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. at the Pure Space Annex, 1315 Northwest Overton Street in Portland. More information can be found at cable.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.